one episode of Locked On Red Sox is just not enough for this Tuesday after the Red Sox were off on Monday. Let's jump into part two of our crossover with Locked On Pirates and former Locked On Red Sox host Gabrielle Starr.
You are Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. And like I mentioned in the intro, this is part two. If you missed part one, be sure to check it out. There's a lot of great baseball talk with the trade deadline. And in part two, we are going to continue some trade deadline talk and just why Red Sox fans have stopped being patient with Chaim Bloom. And of course, we are going to preview the series with the Pirates that begins tonight on the road. So let's just get right to it.
I mean, from an outsider's perspective, I'm like, okay, like I see what it is, because the Pirates are also dealing with the same thing. Earlier this year, they dealt with a plethora of injuries, but the young guys came up. So imagine this, you get all these prospects that come up. There's a fire that lights under the entire team. They start doing a bunch of stuff. They beat the Yankees 2 out of 3 games. They go to LA, sweep the Dodgers. It's like, okay, great. But then you bring back Yoshi Tsutsugo, who is batting under the Mendoza line. You still have Josh Van Meter, who's batting under the Mendoza line, and you're still doing all this stuff. So from an outsider's perspective of like where the Pirates are, I always ask every host who I do a crossover with this, what can you tell listeners of my podcast and Pirates fans in general, or even just tell me about the proverbial light at the end of the tunnel to even, and I will take this. I promise I will take this to get to the position where the Red Sox are right now.
Oh man.
I would take that right now, Lauren. You do not understand. I would take being where you guys are right now in the current position you're in.
I would just say, be patient. And that's rich coming from me. I am the least patient person in this world, but I mean, the talent is there, right? Like it's, the prospects are there. So I hate saying be patient. And that's probably rich coming from a Red Sox fan too, but it's, the light is there. If you can't see it, it's there. And each day that passes, you're one day closer to seeing that light. And that's the most optimistic I can be for poor Pirates fans.
Well, and the thing is too, is what I'm hoping is Ben Cherington taps into that 2013 Boston Red Sox era that he had with you guys at some point, because I'm like, okay, dude, this is year 3 that you've been here, right? At some point, you got to start seeing progress. You got to start seeing some of your guys, not Neil Huntington's guys, because a lot of people get this twisted about the Pirates. Key Brian Hayes and O'Neill Cruz and Brian Reynolds were a product of Neil Huntington's moves. Ben Cherington just inherited that. I need at some point for you to say, this team has enough talent on it to go spend some money. Like, just go, like, who cares? Like, people want to blame it on Bob Nutting. I promise you, Bob Nutting just bought a whiskey company. I don't think he has any issue throwing $10 million at a first baseman who can actually play. But shout out to Boston legend Michael Chavis for everything he does for the Pittsburgh Pirates every single day. I remember Gabrielle sending me the picture of his gym bag when we got him from you guys last year, where he still had his Boston Red Sox gym bag and put Go Pirates arg on it. But at some point, and it's nice and refreshing, actually, and it's going to sound really messed up, it's refreshing to hear that even the Red Sox, a storied organization that has won 4 championships in the last 15 years, if I'm speaking correctly, still deals with incompetent stuff from a front office. Like, as a Pirates fan, it really does just seem like sometimes it's just Ben Cherington, Derek Shelton in the front office here that is just beyond any fixing. But hearing you guys speak the way you were, it really does make it sound like, okay, even when the Pirates contend, there's probably still going to be those issues here.
All right. I mean, look, you know, you have the Orioles, and I don't remember who just came out and said this, but basically their GM was saying, you know, after how good they've been, they plan on spending a lot more money this offseason. And I hope that that's true, because the thing is that baseball, like I said earlier, is better when more teams are actually actively trying to win. And, you know, the new collective bargaining agreement that was agreed to in the spring has kind of incentives against tanking. There are no longer incentives to tank. Really, there are incentives when you don't tank. And I hope that that helps. I don't think it's enough, but I will say, you know, yes, Lauren and I know how spoiled we sound when we're sitting here, but we also know that there are different standards in Boston, in New York, in Los Angeles. Yeah. And I'm not saying that that's okay. I'm just saying that is factually the situation, but it's never going to be perfect. You're always going to be unhappy about something. I mean, in 2018, the Red Sox won a franchise record 108 games, and we were still all freaking out about Craig Kimbrel, and he still had something like 40 saves that year. Yeah, his walks per nine quadrupled or whatever, but he was still much better than most closers, and we were still complaining about him because the year before he'd saved something like 60 games. You know, there is not a single satisfied sports fan in the world. And I know this because I was literally writing an article earlier about how when they traded Christian Vasquez, all of these Sox fans were like, heck yes, it's Kevin Plawecki's time. And now 2 weeks later, literally to the day, people are like, get Kevin Plawecki out of here, call up Connor Wong. Like, it's also just a reflection of where our society is at. You know, we can order anything on our phones. We can get anything delivered. We can call a car in minutes. You know, there's so much that does not require waiting anymore. And so there is a lot more impatience and a lot less delayed gratification in general. And for me, I won't speak for Lauren here, but like, I'm not even saying, you know, Red Sox in the World Series, because quite frankly, I would like it, but it's not really what I care about, because I like underdogs and I like seeing different things happen. You know, like the 2019 postseason was awesome because the Nationals were an underdog and they'd never won a World Series, and that was fun. Mm-hmm. And it meant a lot. And but over the last five or so years, it's basically been the same few teams in the postseason every single year. Like, it's the Astros, the Yankees, sometimes the Red Sox, always the Dodgers. You know, basically you are just cycling through the same matchups, to the point where Jose Altuve hit walk-off home runs off of Aroldis Chapman 2 years in a row, and it was like literally the same thing.
Yeah.
And that's not fun, and it's not growing the game, because those teams already have money, they already have fan bases. What you need is teams like the Pirates, the Mariners, the Phillies. The Phillies have the two active players with the most games played among all active players right now. Jean Segura and JT Realmuto are the two players with the most career regular season games played without playing in the postseason. And it's partially because Segura started his career with the Mariners and then got traded to the Phillies. It's like, who doesn't want to see something different? You know, I think we're all bored. And yeah, I would love to see, you know, 30 more Red Sox. I would love to see the Red Sox, you know, hit double digits on their World Series championships, but I don't want to be selfish. You know, I've had four World Series since I was in grade school. Like, the Cleveland team hasn't had one since 1948. My grandma was in high school in 1948. Like, how dare I? I just want to watch a competently run team that is somewhat competitive. And if they make it to the postseason, fine. But what I care about is teams being competitive, teams putting a watchable product out on the field, and team executives understanding the market that they're working in. Because Chaim Bloom, I'm sorry, you know, I gotta show love for my fellow Jewish people in baseball, but you're not doing the job. You might be doing a job, but you're not doing this job. You're doing a Rays job in Boston. You're not doing a Boston job in Boston.
We'll get you right back to our Locked On crossover episode with Locked On Pirates' Ethan Smith and former Locked On Red Sox host Gabrielle Starr just as soon as I tell you about Built Bar, because if you haven't tried the Built Bar Puffs yet, you are depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. And guess what? There is a new flavor. It's delicious. There's cookie dough. It's covered in chocolate like every other Built Bar, and Built Bar has done it again. Let me introduce you to your new favorite, at least my new favorite, cookie dough chunk puffs have a light, chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks, which is a weakness of mine. And of course, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. They're only 160 calories. They have 15 grams of protein. They're the perfect snack for when you're on the go. If you need something while you're running out, running errands, before the gym, after the gym, they are the perfect snack. You're going to love the new cookie dough chunk puff, whether you need a snack for your workout, a late night treat, which is my favorite, or just need to grab a quick bite to eat. It's the perfect protein bar. They taste better than a candy bar. Ditch the calories, the fat, and the sugars, and grab yourself a Built Bar. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKEDON15 to get 15% off your order. That's code LOCKEDON15 for 15% off at Built.com.
Speaking of trying to put watchable product on the Field of Dreams game, the Field of Dreams game, which is supposed to be a lot of fun. Like Field of Dreams, like we grew up on that movie. Yes. That's so nostalgic. They even had a lot of thoughts. Ken Griffey Jr., Ken Griffey Sr. out there with the iconic, "Hey Dad, want to have a catch?" They built it up so well, I thought. And the product, I didn't watch it a minute of the game. I'm not going to lie. But I wanted to be excited, but I can't get excited when it's the Reds and the Cubs and two teams that are not competitive, two teams that maybe could be competitive. And the Cubs are a storied franchise, but the Reds just don't do it for me. No offense to Jeff, if you're listening to this, but it's just, I want to watch the Red Sox Yankees in there. I want to watch the Red Sox Cubs. I want to watch, it's like when the NHL does a Winter Classic, I want to watch original six teams. I want to watch the original six teams of MLB.
Yeah, and you're missing the best race in all of baseball, Lauren. Third, fourth, and fifth in the NL Central, okay? It's the best race in baseball right now. You got the Cubs at 47-66. The Reds are 45-68. Pirates are 45-70. What more could you want from baseball? That's the race that you should be looking at right there. But I agree 100% about the Field of Dreams game. I was also a component, even as a Pirates fan, watching two teams that I get to watch all the time. I watch the game, but I will say I thought it was something they should have did one time. Last year when they did it with the White Sox and the Yankees, it was absolutely awesome. Tim Anderson hitting that walk-off and doing his whole spiel and everything was great. But then after that, I was like, they announced it again this year and it was the Cubs and the Reds. And I was like, why are we doing this again? It was just one of those things that was cool when it happened once, but it didn't really need to happen again. Go do another one. Like there's so many baseball movies that you could go build a field somewhere and portray it as the way it was portrayed.
Not even that, but like, first of all, if you're trying to do an OG series, Red Sox Pirates was the first World Series ever in 1903. Let's recreate that. That was awesome. I will say it's very fitting, and I'm not the only person who said this. This is not like a inventing the wheel thing. It's kind of obvious, but I rewatched Field of Dreams like 4 or 5 years ago and wrote about it for Girl at the Game, kind of the things that stood out to me. And one of them was that it bothered me that the little girl was the one who was like, let's commercialize this supernatural field. Like she's the one that's like, we can charge money for tickets to watch ghosts play baseball. And you know, you resurrecting your relationship with the ghost of your dad. That always bothered me. And I think along those lines, like, it's very MLB to commercialize the Field of Dreams, continue commercializing it, you know, and you're not even commercializing it well because you're putting two losing teams. I understand that the matchup was set, I think, before the season started. Like, I think they announced it last fall or winter. So you didn't know at the time, but you kind of knew. When are the Cincinnati Reds good? Really? Like you kind of knew that it was not going to be like White Sox, Yankees, Tim Anderson versus Aaron Judge. I mean, it's the Cincinnati Reds. They never win anything. And, you know, they were going to lose Castellanos and trade Winker and then, you know, whatever. It's just, it bothers me that they are ruining things like that just to make more money when they already have so much money. But also if you're talking about other ways to do this, somebody suggested doing one at this field in Paterson, New Jersey. That's one of the last standing Negro Leagues ballparks. That sounds awesome. You have all, you have old ballparks. You still have these ballparks that are standing from the Negro Leagues, old minor league parks. You know, why aren't you doing that? Why aren't you growing the game in the Black community? Why aren't you just doing more to actually give back to make the game more welcoming and inclusive, as opposed to beating Dyersville, Iowa into the ground at Field of Dreams with losing teams?
Yeah, I agree.
Far too easy for MLB. I was like, no, that makes way too much sense.
Well,
again, Alex, logic.
And logic. Alex Stump, he's a great writer in Pittsburgh, just said, I am once again begging Major League Baseball to understand people just want to watch two good baseball teams play on a weeknight during the summer on a major network rather than cable or streaming service. Please just put a game of the week on Fox on Thursdays. I don't think people would be mad about that. I mean, it would be easy. Pick a day of the week. Give TBS, Fox, ESPN already gets Sunday Night Baseball. Just give Fox and whatever other networks you want to give it to. And you don't have to schedule the game months in advance. Like, Gabrielle covers the Phillies on the side. And why the hell were the Pirates and the Phillies on a Fox Saturday night game? That was the stupidest thing they could have ever did. It was boring. There's nothing going on. The Phillies trounced the Pirates. That's just me getting a rant out. But why not?
The ballpark, by the way, is Hinchcliffe Stadium in Paterson, New Jersey. Yep. And they're doing a $94 million renovation of it, which is supposed to be done by next year. So it's like, if you want to do it, like, Harold Reynolds is one of the people that's kind of campaigning for this, you know, and I'm like, this sounds awesome. It's creative. It's fresh. It's new. And it's actually beneficial to your game in a way that doesn't seem like you're...
It doesn't seem forced. It doesn't seem forced.
Forced, exactly. Yeah. Like, you are, like, the Field of Dreams site is like an orange and you're trying to get every last bit of juice out of it before you discard its shell, you know, its peel into the trash. Like, that's what this feels like, is like, we're going to ruin this for you so that you can't even watch the movie anymore without thinking about how we messed this up.
Well, and also speaking on that too, you have teams like the Pirates who every once in a while have a weekend devoted to Negro League baseball teams that played in that city, the Homestead Grays being one of the most synonymous of all time. And I'm also not going to lie to you either. Most of those jerseys that they wear are awesome. Like, they're like all gray. You got like blue or red as a color. They're awesome. They look old timey. They're great. And it would be a great way, as Gabrielle said, to not only reflect on every single major person from the Negro Leagues that influenced all these guys to get to play today, but also it's something that if you announce this randomly, like, no, like just a random announcement, like, oh, on August, whatever, like, we're going to play a game here, people would love it. I think it would be great. I think people would love it. They would eat it alive. I think it would be awesome. And it would help grow the game in so many other ways too, because again, if you want to push the big market thing, people from New York would come down there and watch that game, I'm sure. People from Massachusetts would probably come down and watch that game, I'm sure. You get a lot of people that would probably pop up to a stadium that's getting a major renovation and is also going towards something that spans how long, 120, 130 years worth of heritage among a game that we all call America's pastime. Like, that'd be awesome. I actually love that idea. I think that's great.
Reynolds was literally wearing a Homestead Grays jersey when talking about this recently. And I'm like, yeah, you can have Bob Kendrick, the president of the Negro Leagues Museum, you know, doing doing analyst work for the game. You know, you can raise money for the Negro Leagues Museum, which is trying to do this new thing for Buck O'Neill. I feel like in general, MLB prefers to ruin things instead of create things. Like,
preach.
They want to make it harder to enjoy baseball than to make baseball more enjoyable. And I don't
much.
I really, it's like, you go on Twitter is free market. market research for them. It's like, all we want is to be able to afford to go to games and to not be blacked out in 17 different states from 14 different ball games that are not even in our state. And I really don't think that that's too much to ask. And MLB's like, no. Like, they're like, congratulations, we've just added paper straws to our ballpark. I'm like, right, but none of us can afford to go to your ballpark. So it doesn't really matter what kind of freaking straw you're giving us with our $13 soda.
I was going to say, no one can afford the drinks that they give the paper straws with anyway. But as much as we want to see better product, I think that's a consensus among many baseball fans. We just want a better product on the field. We want more accessibility.
We are having a grand old time here on Locked On Red Sox and Locked On Pirates. We'll get right back to our crossover episode just as soon as I tell you about BetOnline, because BetOnline.net is the fastest and the easiest way to check in on all of your betting needs. Find all your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. Find reviews and news of every league, including MLB, NFL, NBA, NHL, which both are returning very, very soon, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the online source for all of your sports wagering information, from live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts. They have you covered. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more about all the action that's happening right now. That's BetOnline, where the game starts.
To games, but let's wrap this up here. What we expect from this series with the Red Sox and the Pirates. We probably should talk a little bit about the series. We'll end the show on the Pirates chatter, but I'm a simple gal. I'll take 2 out of 3, whatever it is. My expectations are not high anymore. They are what they are. I am at the IDGAF stage of baseball. Like, I don't care what happens. They lose the next 50 games. They do. If they win the next 50, awesome. My mood is not going to change either way.
I will go ahead and tell you, I think that's what happened. I think that's what's going to happen. I think the Red Sox win 2 out of 3. I think the Pirates just play better at home. For some reason, it's this weird thing. Maybe it's they play in the most beautiful park in baseball. Maybe you should actually put a winning team in it. But Fenway is, of course, a very, very close second. Very, very close second. But yeah, I think the Pirates do steal one game. But even then, I think that's a big win for the Red Sox to win 2 out of 3 back-to-back series. And then for your Red Sox fans, hey, you got a bunch of series against the AL East coming up. So keep it hot while you got it.
Yeah, I mean, I think Lauren can agree that the Red Sox have this funny problem where they will take 2 of 3 from the Yankees, but suck against teams like the Royals. And like, you know, I would love to take 2 out of 3. I also could totally see them going like 1 for 3, just like losing in the most absurdly dumb fashion, because they love to do that, where it's like, they're one of, if not the worst teams at scoring, like driving in runs. Like their numbers hitting, their situational hitting is appalling. They are truly their own worst enemy. So I think there is a very good chance that they lose 2 of the 3 games in the series, just on the basis that like, sometimes it feels like they don't want to win.
It is. It's the most mind-boggling thing, this Red Sox team this season. But Gabrielle, thank you so much for joining us. Where can people find you, support your work, find you on Twitter and all that good stuff?
So you guys can find me on BoSoxInjection.com. It's FanSided's Red Sox site. I am its editor. And you can find me on Twitter at GFSTAR1. And if you're a Red Sox fan, you're probably either already following me or you have me blocked, and either one is totally fine.
Thank you so much for, like I said, joining us, jumping on here to your former Anytime, Red Sox guys. Podcast. We really appreciate it. And Ethan, where can people find you in your sad Pirates team?
Well, at @MVP_Ethan is where you can see me fawn over the legend that is George Pickens already in Pittsburgh. But also, I'm a Brian Reynolds stan. I've advocated for them keeping him. I think they're going to keep him. So if you want the slightest amount of optimism about the Pittsburgh Pirates or baseball in general, come see me.
Awesome. So that wraps up this lovely crossover plus Gabrielle. So we'll see how this series goes. I'm hoping it's 2 out of 3, but we'll revisit this, maybe get some old takes exposed on this. But thank you for making Locked On Red Sox and Locked On Pirates your first listen of every day. We'll see you tomorrow. Hopefully it's a Red Sox win that we can recap.
We hope you enjoyed this crossover episode with Locked On Pirates' Ethan Smith and former Locked On Red Sox host Gabrielle Starr. It was such a fun episode. Love talking baseball with those two. Thank you for tuning in today. We cannot wait to come back on Wednesday, hopefully talk about a Red Sox win. Be sure to follow, rate, review, and subscribe to Locked On Red Sox right here on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast is where you can find us. Find us on Twitter at @LO_Red Sox, Jake at Jake Iggy. He will be back Wednesday. And me, Lauren, three laws, Lauren with 4 R's. Be sure to follow Ethan, Locked On Pirates, and Gabrielle all on Twitter as well. They're all wonderful follows. And now that you have made Locked On Red Sox your first listen, be sure to head on over to Locked On MLB to make it listen number two. Paul Francis Sullivan, just call him Sully, good friend of mine, friend of the pod, friend of the Locked On Network, brings you his unique perspective using humor, using knowledge to provide unique insight to the major leagues, both past and present. It's free and available wherever you get your podcast, YouTube, Apple, Spotify, just like Locked On Red Sox is where you can find Locked On MLB. Have a wonderful day. We will see you Wednesday. And as always, let's go Red Sox.